Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I present to you Red Spotlight Entertainment.
Hello, Red Spotters. I'm your host, Kyle Lira, and welcome to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot to discuss today. First of all, the topic of the day, Comic-Con. Today we're going to go over with Ben Affleck and his whole entire shish kebab thingamajigger. What do you want to call it?
I'm confused.
Also, Warner Brothers' current film lineup with the DCEU. Also, Inhumans and a little bit of a Justice League trailer, a little bit of Iron Fist, a little bit of Walking Dead, Stranger Things, Thor, Ragnarok. And a little bit of Disaster Artist, and a little bit of Defenders, and a little bit of Captain Marvel. Alright, so, without further ado, here is Red Spotlight number 57, Kyle's conventional catch-up game. First of all, let's talk about Ben Affleck leaving Batman. What's all that about?
Well, in the middle of Comic-Con, it broke. The Hollywood Reporter broke the story from an inside source that Ben Affleck is apparently leaving Warner Brothers as the role of the Batman, that apparently WB was looking for a graceful an exit as possible for Ben Affleck.
Yes.
And a lot of people seem to be caught off guard by it. Because everybody was like, oh my god, how could this possibly happen? When in reality, we kind of knew for months. And then today at the WB panel, I guess Ben Affleck addressed it in some way. And apparently everybody is running with the story that everything's fine. And Ben Affleck said he's staying on as the Batman.
I think, you know, looking at his entire history of with the company and everything else, I don't blame him. I don't blame him for wanting to leave. I don't blame him for wanting to, because let's face it, the DCEU has not had the most graceful transitional period.
There's nothing graceful about graceful and DCEU should not be in the same sentence, period. But as far as Ben Affleck being in this, is this really a surprise, him wanting to be out of it? We've known for a while he wants to get out of this. WB wants him gone, and yet when we get another inside source saying that he wants to leave or WB wants to let go of him,
some spin comes about.
No, not some spin. Everybody just wants to deny it flat out, calling this rumor. This is not a baseless rumor. This is a source. This is a report that's coming out. Him today coming out and say, oh, I have every intention if they want me to. It honestly, who really can take him seriously at this point when every other week we get news of him dropping out of this, dropping out of that? I think it's, honestly, at this point, I would put money on him dropping out after Justice League, and that's that.
You remember when he was saying, like, oh, no, like, of course I'm going to direct the movie. And then he didn't. So
he's going to write it, too.
Yeah, he said he was going to write it, and then he didn't. So him just coming out and saying it doesn't really mean anything to me.
He didn't even say he wasn't.
He didn't even directly say that. He's like, well, I love doing this.
And then everybody just ran with the story.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck confirms he's in Batman.
So I do think he's probably going to leave, but I do think he's going to do the Batman first. To me, that's like the whole point he joined in the first place, is to be able to do that, not BVS.
I think that it's, I mean, he's had a bunch of personal problems, you know, as well. I mean, with him and Garner and him with his alcohol problems. I mean, I don't see.
Why are you going into this?
Okay.
Because, well,
you didn't have to bring that
factor
up. I didn't bring that up.
You bring it up every freaking time.
No,
so
when?
I allude to it sometimes. We don't need to go there.
Okay.
I mean, did he cheat on his wife? Yes, he did. Is he having a drinking problem? Maybe. Most definitely. But no, we don't need to dwell on it.
I mean, but, like, it's a contributing factor to all the, you know, build-up that him having personal problems
does
with
this.
Does
he look happy to you? When was the last time you seen Ben Affleck happy?
There's a reason why there's a meme
Jersey
about
Jersey Girl.
It. That probably killed his career.
J-Lo made him happy. Go back to J-Lo. It doesn't matter until, like, after the Batman. Because I do think differently than you. I do think he is going to be in it. And I don't think they're thinking about it in terms of trilogy.
But even if he was out, we wouldn't know now. The thing is, we wouldn't. Because Justice League, they're promoting a movie. Why would you announce before the movie comes out that Batman is leaving? I mean, that Ben Affleck is leaving. That's why this report, I feel, caught a lot of people off guard. Not like us, but like WB or Ben Affleck's team. Like, they were like not expecting this to like be published right in the middle of Comic-Con. But I've known for a while now, we've known, this is not a really surprise, Ben Affleck will be leaving sooner than later, which once again I feel is yet another nail in the coffin for this DCEU. This is the main person right now in your current cinematic universe. You've announced 7 fucking movies on Gotham and the Batman, and you can't even have your goddamn star player for more than 3 movies or 4 movies. This is yet another failure of this garbage heap of a cinematic universe. It's failing.
Strong opinions from Mr. Soto.
As always. What about their quote-unquote lineup?
Okay, go. Just read it off.
What did they announce?
They announced, like, Wonder Woman 2 with no affirmed director.
We were right on that one. Shazam, right?
Well, yeah. Shazam. Yeah, no shit.
They're pressing forward with that one.
That's the next movie. Yeah, Shazam is the next movie that is filming. And according to Jeff Johns, Joss Whedon will start writing Batgirl next year.
And then after that, we have a Flashpoint.
No. Okay, there's no after that. There was no fucking, no order of when this was going to... There was no release dates. They just released a random list of films in no particular order. We have no idea when they're coming out, who's making them, why they're even happening. So...
The only ones that are confirmed to actually being made are Shazam and Batgirl.
Yeah. So it's going to be Aquaman.
Oh, and the Batman.
Shazam and then Batgirl.
Even the Batman is up in the...
We don't know when it's coming.
Have a title.
It's called The Batman.
Yes.
We didn't already fucking know that. Sure.
But now it's confirmed.
So yeah, we don't know. The thing is though, you can really call this a freaking lineup. They just announced... This is what they do all the fucking time. They announce more movies. Hey, we have a title here. At the very least, they give us release dates in the past. They didn't even give us anything here. It wasn't much of a lineup. There's not really a panel. They have no plan.
This once again suggests
they have no idea what they're doing. And all that we're getting is a bunch of movies that are meaningless.
Wonder Woman's going to win an Oscar, so take that for not knowing.
I want to get to the Flashpoint thing.
Okay, yes.
So why do you make your first Flash movie Flashpoint?
To reboot the whole entire thing.
Yeah, you can fix the rest of the universe that... Fucking sucks.
Do you guys really feel confident that even if they do that, it's going to really work?
No, but they're trying. A for
do
effort,
or
sir.
Do not. There is no try, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then only Sith steal in absolutes. So, and how about we not get advice from a film?
And even if we're going to get Flashpoint, again, when is that going to happen?
I need a Batgirl, I need a Harley Quinn movie, and then a Robin movie,
mm-hmm.
and then an Alfred movie. And then his parents' movie, and it's just them getting shot. And then it's like 10 minutes long. And then that's it.
Submitting a live-action short film contest.
Yes.
Is anybody here really impressed by what they announced?
Yeah.
I felt it was really underwhelming. Like, what?
I liked.
There's no plan here. They just announced a random list of movies. There's no release dates. And again, I just get the sense that we're just going nowhere with this.
There's no plan, but the little stuff that is there, I think, is
like
good.
What? Suicide Squad 2, your favorite movie?
No, but they're gonna they announced that they will have Hal Jordan and what's his name for Green Lantern Corps. The whole Flashpoint that they are gonna do the Flashpoint story, I think, is a good sign. Confirmation, at least, that we know what the next films are, like Shazam and Batgirl, I think are good. And then even the trailer. I like the trailer.
League.
Yeah, but
Justice
that's...
Go on.
Make sure you say
Go
my
on.
Name.
While we're on it.
No, Peter, you start.
On what?
Justice League trailer.
Oh, okay. I liked it. It looks...
That's how you liked it? It's like...
Because I don't know what you want.
Are we talking to Alexis Moreno now?
I liked it. I think it looks like it's fun. It looks like all the characters are good. Like, mm-hmm. they've gotten the characters right, finally. It looks like great action. It just looks like a really well-made, fun summer blockbuster. And that's all I expect or really need. So, I know you have a couple issues, but those I feel are severe nitpicks. Go ahead and say what they are, because it's really hard to say what's good about it. It's like, I liked the way they did Flash. I liked the characterization with him. All the action scenes look good. Mm. All the inter-character interactions look great. I mean, it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be anything like crazy special.
I'm whatever on it. I don't care for this movie. I never cared to begin with. And I will say, this was the best trailer they've had of the three that they've released. Honestly, it was just the Wonder Woman show with other people in it. That's all it was.
You got to fight the patriarchy.
Again, with the slow-mo action, it's all at nighttime. What's his name? Steppenwolf looks terrible.
You don't even really get to... You see his knees.
No, but you already know what it's going to be. It's going to be the CGI blob thing, crap fest with a sky beam and...
You mean like Avengers?
Yeah. It's exactly what I thought it was going to be. It was a trailer that pretty much was all of them like, hey, look at us, we're cool, aren't we funny? And then there is the Beatles come together and that kind of music, and it was all in the nighttime. That's all it was. And everybody's losing their shit over this, and I don't get it.
I just feel it's not your team, and you're getting angry. You were very negative about Wonder Woman, and then... You came out liking that film.
Yeah?
I get ready to do that again.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
I liked a lot of elements of it. One moment that stuck out to me boldly was the moment where Batman, he was in the sky and, you know, his cape was out. And against the red background, and it really harkened back to the animated TV show. I liked it. Peter likes it. Alexis obviously hates it.
Look, what can I say?
Yeah, I'm not sure neither, Alexa.
Why is it only his voice that does it? Like, I don't get it.
I have no idea.
You know, just stop saying
that. Alexa, play the Beatles Come Together.
Come Together by the Beatles. Oh, man! Yes!
I love this song.
Oh, man. Well,
tell him to stop.
Alexa, turn off. Alexa, turn off. Alexa, stop.
Stop.
Alexa, thanks, bitch.
Well, Alexis has done enough shitting on DC.
Stop saying my fucking name. Look what's happening.
Well, is your name not Alexis?
His name will be Mary Poppins. Just refer to him as Mary Poppins.
All right. Mary Poppins, you've done enough shitting on DC. What about shit on Marvel with Inhumans?
We didn't even talk about the Joker Harley Quinn thing.
Oh, should we talk about that? That's
gonna
be not necessarily confirmed.
That's going to be in the news for like a week, and then it'll be brushed under the rug.
I'll say this. If it is true, what the fuck? No. And then if it isn't true, okay.
There you go. That was our little bit on that. Now, Inhumans.
Yes. It's.
Do you have any thoughts of your own? Why don't you... Come on.
I did seriously, tell...
Then just ask us. Tell us. What
I did tell...
Okay, I'll start, because it's getting a little confrontational over here. Seriously. I think Alexa needs to come together. But, anyways...
Oh, God. Okay. Alright.
The trailer was shit. It looked bad. It looked like, I don't know, like a Geico commercial or something. It just was bad at every level. It's the writing, the way it was filmed, the way it looked. It doesn't look like a good... And we've been saying this for freaking weeks, months at this point.
Ever since Iron Fist
after we saw Iron Fist. And
yeah,
we experienced what a complete shit television series that was.
I've honestly lost count how many times we've discussed Inhumans on the show.
Because you remember after we watched it, the first thing I told you was like, fuck, there goes Inhumans.
Yeah.
Because it's going to... And everything I've seen has
just validated that, what we, all of our concerns.
And nothing I've seen has not,
remember,
not validated.
Because at this point, we have three different versions of trailers. We have the leaked trailer, then we have the first trailer, then we have the second trailer.
The leaked and the first trailer, I think, are the same.
More or less. There was some added footage in the first trailer.
Oh, okay.
It was just the high def. But before any of those trailers came out, Peter and I were saying, because of Scott Buck, you know, it's going to be cheap, it's going to be dull, it's going to be boring, it's going to look completely unappeasing.
Or unappealing.
Unappealing, that's the word. And it's just going to be basically Iron Fist, but so much worse.
Yeah.
And basically, every single trailer we've reviewed has horrifyingly, at that, validated all of our concerns. Because, and here's the thing. People seem to have this consensus, I've been checking on Twitter, that this new Comic-Con trailer was a tad bit better than the first one, and I disagree. I think it's even worse. I think it's even worse because this is exactly the kind of bullshit WB and DC have been doing all these years. They concocted a reactionary trailer based on all of the criticism on the first trailer. Did you notice how many more special effects shots were in that second trailer?
They just threw in all the special effect shots they have for the first two episodes in order to get people to be like, oh, that looks cool.
And if that's all they got, wow, is that pathetic.
But it doesn't look good, though.
Yeah,
it didn't look good. Well, I'm saying it's worse in this trailer.
If it looked good, that would be another thing. But it could, like, Medusa's hair? What the fuck is
that?
But
the costumes, the designs. Okay, Peter pointed this out. This is now the second trailer. We're a month out from this debut on IMAX. And get this. These people supposed to live on a moon? Where's that fucking aerial shot of the moon or the city that they live on?
You've never seen, like, a shot of the city just as a whole.
I feel like, and Peter pointed
this out. You just see them in, like, a fucking parking lot.
Right.
With close-up shots. And
yeah. Or somebody's house that's, I guess, somewhat futuristic. And all of the designs look like some kind of 90s sci-fi for television. Like, I shared with Peter this week, they announced a new cast member that's playing an Inhuman. That apparently their power is that they have these long ears, and like, or I think like a deer, and they can hear
they
anything.
They look like a deer.
That's the comic book version. The TV version, Peter, what was it that I showed you?
She's kind of wore like a leather, like, it was a cute little pantsuit. And that was it.
She looked like a lawyer.
She looked like a lawyer. I thought she looked like she was in, like, Law and Order SVU or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. That, I think, is the microcosm for this bullshit of a show. That's what Scott Buck does. He takes a comic book genius thing and he takes it into some kind of It's just lazy.
That's ugly. The thing that pisses me off is it's lazy.
It's lazy and ugly.
Like, the thing is that Inhumans should have been fucking fantastic. It should have
been Game of Thrones level.
Yes, but then I don't know, like, for example, Lockjaw. It looked like some sort of third grader edited, you know, whatever dog, like, took a random clip of a dog.
And that's the thing, people think
then,
it looks good.
And then put it in Microsoft Paint. Mm-hmm. That looks like Lockjaw. And it's just poorly rendered.
Did you notice in this trailer they also added a green person for, like, oh, we have Inhumans that are not humans.
Yeah.
Let's show that off for, like, a couple of seconds.
Because in the past one, they just got a bunch of hobos and, like...
But I
discreetly filmed them.
But I think that green person is the same person who was running through the jungle in the first
one. Yeah, it's the same. That's why I'm saying they just got all the shots they have from the first two.
And that's the only one that they got. There's no diversity.
Wait a minute.
What?
It just occurred to me. They were dressed like hobos, weren't they?
They're dressed like hobos.
They just have, like, brown potato sacks on them.
They're supposed to be this, like, crazy, like, alien-like people that live on the moon. And it looked like they're hobos huddled in a parking lot.
With trash bags.
And it's like, I guess.
There's the extras. That's what they did to hire the extras. That's how we saved all that money.
Yeah.
That's how was Scott Buck saved all that
money. I guess it's the theme of this year. They had slow-mo action.
Oh, yeah. There was, like, random stupid slow-mo. Like, oh, I'm stepping in a puddle. So badass. I need to slow it down. It's gonna look so great in IMAX.
And I guess they had weapons. The Inhumans had.
Why do they have guns?
Because they all
have fucking superpowers. Why do they have guns?
I have no idea.
The X-Men don't have guns.
Medusa's hair. They unveiled her siege. How did it look to you? I wasn't a big fan of it.
I actually don't think it was terrible.
It wasn't terrible. Among the terrible things, it was the least. But I don't think it was that appealing either. Uh-huh.
It looked like somebody, like, liquefied it on Photoshop, and then that was pretty much it.
Yeah, it wasn't good at all.
It wasn't good, but it was like, if I squint and I'm like,
okay,
like I'm watching the TV it's from acceptable. My kitchen, I'm from, like, oh, okay. Shit, that almost looked real. Like, that's not too bad.
And this is a show that has been shot on IMAX that will debut like, on IMAX to be screens.
This, like, they're billing it as this event, and it's like then. If you're billing it as an event, then make sure it doesn't look like a YouTube fan film.
And like the cinematography, the way it's lit, also ugly. Just looks like a fucking commercial, ugly. Right?
It does.
Even YouTube fan films look better than what Inhumans look like.
It does.
And before I forget, I think what really just made this the worst trailer, what a fucking terrible song choice.
What was it?
I'm only you keep human singing it. You keep singing that stupid-ass like,
song.
That's like,
do you get it? Because human is in the title.
Oh my god!
And they're Inhumans.
And again, Scott Buck's, he was at that panel, and he was asked about the Inhumans, and he was like, he stressed again the fact, this is not a show about super people. It's a show about people that just happen to have superpowers.
That's the stupidest fucking answer
but
ever.
But they don't, okay, whatever. Fuck this show. Can we move on?
Wait, before we move on.
But the thing about Scott Buck is that he is not returning for Iron Fist 2.
This is why it connects, because it was announced today that Iron Fist has been renewed for season 2, and it was also confirmed that Scott Buck will not be returning as the showrunner, and we have some mixed feelings. I personally feel, and my prediction is that The Inhumans is going to be a huge television ratings bomb. It will lose millions of viewers every week. Scott Buck will be fired. Peter has the more pessimistic and alarmingly maybe more realistic approach.
I think
approach.
The only reason they got a new, what's it called? New showrunner
for Iron Fist.
For Iron Fist is because they're going to give Scott Buck
Inhumans season 2.
Like, that's you. That's yours. You're going to be too busy on season 2 to be doing...
I think at this point they expect that. That's what Jeff Loeb expects. I don't think they have any idea how terrible this is going to
bomb. But Jeff Loeb, I feel like he's so stubborn. Like, he'll just be like, well, I'll make you love The Inhumans and if you hated it.
Did you see how he came out in that wig?
Yeah.
Like, how tone deaf was that?
And it was, and it's also rumored that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to get a crossover episode with Inhumans.
Was it confirmed or was it, I think.
It's, no. It wasn't, but like, it was, like, hinted at, maybe.
That apparently Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to cross over. I'm guessing that's going to be for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not the Inhumans show, right?
I don't know.
Like,
don't
when care. The crossover will happen. I think, honestly, at this point, if you asked me a year ago how I would feel about a crossover, like, you know, duh, it's an ABC show, they want to make this thing. But now that I've seen that Scott Buck, the designs, the trailers, I don't want Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. anywhere near the show. And I don't want Marvel, the fact that they're associated with this show is embarrassing. And Peter was right. When this thing debuts in a month, because it comes out September 1st. That's the story, I think, the headline. Because
everybody laughed at the footage.
No, it was saying that people laughed at the Comic-Con panel. People laughed at the footage. Already, it's an embarrassment. And it's not getting any better.
Imagine being there.
Alexis, your Marvel check is going to bounce.
You need to stop saying my name, because Alexa keeps turning the fuck on and she's asking you what you want.
We'll call you bitch about that.
Oh no, he's Mary Poppins.
Oh my god.
He's Mary Poppins, yo.
Mary Poppins.
Hey!
Mary Poppins, yo.
What about some positive Marvel news, right? They released a new Thor Ragnarok trailer, and I thought it was pretty badass. I think it's like this buddy cop movie that we've never gotten, you know.
How are they cops?
Buddy cop road trip movie, whatever you want to put it. I'm only running on 3 hours of sleep, guys.
Okay.
So I think it was a fan-fucking-tastic trailer. I think that the chemistry between Ruffalo and Hemsworth really stood out to me. Like, them just being the characters that they were since Avengers, and just seeing them together was...
3 out of 10, no cool. Natalie Portman.
We got more Cate Blanchett. We got more... Well, she looks incredible.
Yes.
We got more Mark Ruffalo in this trailer, and him and Hemsworth are amazing.
I like how trippy it looks.
Yeah.
I guess that's a good one.
I like the soundtrack or the sound of the music that was attached to the trailer. It was
like it looks unique, mm-hmm. and I think that's important, especially for comic book films.
Right.
Yeah.
Tessa Thompson's Valkyrie looks amazing, too.
Yeah, she looks cool.
And then the way that they look, you know, especially Loki. I didn't know that Loki was going to be full going in with...
No, he's a big part of the movie, apparently. He's going to be a part of the team to rescue Asgard.
Team Thor.
And that last shot of Thor with the thunder or the lightning, whatever it was.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It looks like... like I said, like they just went for shit. They're like, wouldn't it be cool? Okay, let's do it. You know? And that's great.
Like, yeah, I think that's the story I think of this trailer is that they're really going for it. And it's not like the Scott Buck approach where it's all a half measure, nothing blah. This is going for something and they're committing to it 100%.
Asgard like this, would be at like a local park.
It look
Shakespeare in the park.
It would be like, you know those
doth thou little... mother know you weareth her drapes?
Yes, reference. It'll be like, you know how like those little, you go in the jungle gym and there's a little bridge?
Yeah.
That would be the rainbow bridge. I don't know. I liked it. It was a good trailer.
Hey, yeah, even I'm that excited. Would be better than Inhumans.
I'm really excited.
For Inhumans? No, yes. Thor Ragnarok.
I'm watching it.
Honestly,
get my IMAX ticket right now.
My expectations for this movie continuously rise. And who would have thought about that for Thor 3? Mm-hmm. Like, I like the Thor movies, but they've never been the
more... I don't know. There was, like, slow motion at one point. And I think that means that there's a shit trailer, so... I was using Alexis.
I think that's Peter's way of making fun of me.
Yes.
Even though I think nobody here
it worked. About it.
Worked. I think it kind of worked.
I didn't find it funny.
Okay.
But it was a very good trailer.
I thought it was a really good trailer, too. I agree. I like how you see more of a Hulk talking, like him as the...
Yeah, finally! How long has it been since...
Because he's always...
He's only ever said, like, two words.
Yeah.
Or three. Two words.
Like, he said something in a Age of Ultron, and then he had, like, that whole puny god bit in Avengers, but never...
He didn't say anything in Age of Ultron.
Are you sure?
No, he didn't say anything.
We gotta rewatch it.
What did he say?
I don't know. I mean, we gotta rewatch it, because I don't
know. No, he didn't.
Audio commentary coming on.
I think we'll do it before then, for sure.
I think eventually we'll get to, like, all the Marvel movies.
I think... what I liked about this trailer is also a showcase for Chris Hemsworth's comedy chops.
Yeah.
Like, he's really fitting in naturally.
I always found him funny.
But they never used him in comedic, that much comedy in the previous
Ghostbusters?
No, in the previous two Thor films. I meant the Thor films. But he was the best part of that Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, yeah, he was. No, he has really good comedic timing.
And with Taika Waititi. He's exploiting
I love him. One of me and Kyle's favorite comedies of all time
is What We Do in the Shadows. Him and Jeremy Clement. That was a fucking amazing movie. Like
I told you, that's
like every
hilarious.
Time I watch it, I get like something new out of it, and it's great. Like his approach in directing is really good, and I can't wait to see like that kind of style in this movie as well.
I assume we're going to begin with Thor and Doctor Strange looking for Loki.
Yeah, I think it starts with him looking for his, what's it called?
Odin.
Odin.
Him and Loki are
Wednesday. It starts with, well, I don't even fucking know. It looks weird.
It looks great. He looks great with a helmet. I'm glad they
brought the helmet back.
This is some stupid nerd shit, but I love him in that helmet. Why the fuck would they never put him in the helmet? Just put him in a helmet.
I think this will be easily the best Thor movie. And I'm going to call it right now, even though it's not that much of a competition, this will be better than Justice League, hands down.
He's going to eat his words.
Oh, my God. I didn't say Justice League would be terrible or bad. I'm just saying, no question, Ragnarok will be much better.
And someone is just on such a bender of haterade.
And we got some more Marvel news with Captain Marvel. And apparently it's going to be set in the 1990s.
The 1990s, it's going to predominantly feature Nick Fury?
Yeah, with both eyes.
Because that matters.
Whoa. Now you got my ticket.
And she's going against the Skrulls.
I think that's the coolest part. Yeah. I think that's really fucking cool.
I don't even know what
the designs look
like. What do they do again? Why are they
shapeshift. They're able to look like anyone.
Like Zygons from Doctor Who.
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah.
You're such a goddamn nerd. Doctor Who, we're talking about cool shit like Marvel. Get out of here.
You know, the funny thing is, Kyle was the one that got personally offended by that.
I know he did.
The Lego Batman movie.
Do you remember? I know. We saw the Lego Batman movie.
And then we have British robots. Ask your nerd friends.
And he was personally attacked, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, no one cares about Doctor... Well, it's a girl now, so now everyone cares.
Yeah.
But...
just... exactly. That's all it took.
Yeah.
It pisses me off.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, what kind of movie is Captain Marvel going to be? Like, what are they going to
leave? I don't know.
A comedy? A drama? Like, what?
That's why... I don't know. That's why I find it cool. Like,
so if this, this takes place in the 90s, where the fuck has she been all this time?
Probably frozen in ice. Somewhere.
She's a capsicle.
She's next to the head of Walt Disney. In like some underground layer bunker or whatever. I don't know. They'll explain it by the end of the film.
Yeah, I think that was good. And also,
maybe she has Nick Fury's other eye. Maybe this whole film is actually just an origin story about Nick Fury's eye.
There you go. You know what? That description right there?
Then we can get a spinoff for the other eye.
It sounds way better than Inhumans.
And then we can get like a team-up film where Nick Fury uses both of his eyes.
I think you're describing Sony's formula.
What's next?
But what about that? What about the Defenders guys? I
go run with this because I feel like you're gonna. I don't know. You're gonna have a.
We got a lot more. Feelings. We got a lot more Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver looks outstanding.
Yes,
as always,
but I think she's gonna be terrific, if not stellar. As I guess she's the main villain in this.
Yeah.
Or maybe
who is
not.
She? Like,
yeah.
Does she even have a
no, she's
a
not
name?
In the comic books. She's a completely original character.
But have they said what her name is?
No. All we know is that she's an original character to this whole entire franchise.
That's cool. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just compared to everything else that was released that took up my attention, but I didn't find this to be particularly memorable.
Mm-hmm.
Or
I think because most of it is just punching.
Yeah.
Punch. And... compared to like, oh my god, that's a giant demon and Hulk's gonna punch it in the face and oh my god, is that the Iron Giant next to Deathstroke? Like, it's very, very tame. But it's one of those things where it's like, oh, okay. Like, it doesn't excite me, but I know by the time I'm like, it's out and I'm watching it, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be like, oh my god.
I mean, my main problem is the same as it always has been. I'm mm-hmm. very, very iffy on what's gonna happen with Danny Rand. And the whole Iron Fist. Because apparently he's going to be a major part of that first episode. Because they screened the first episode of The Defenders at Comic-Con. And apparently, like, gets the most screen time, the most focus in that episode. And then, like, apparently the way that Finn Jones is describing it is that the arc that wasn't really resolved in season one of Iron Fist.
So, like, the whole show?
Exactly. Is going to get resolved in season one of The Defenders. That kind of
this is completely different showrunners, completely different mm-hmm. people working on it. So maybe they might get me to do this amazing thing called like Iron Fist.
Yeah.
So it's 50-50. It's a coin flip. I don't know. I don't like it. Just hearing it because
I can't stand to see any more of him.
The only ones I care about really are Daredevil, Matt Murdock, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage. But if you can get me to care
about Iron Fist,
then that's really
job
awesome.
Well done.
Yeah,
but you can definitely tell he's gonna be like treated like a joke around the other three.
Hopefully, he is.
Like there was a little bit of that.
Yeah,
there was a little bit of that where Daredevil was basically saying, and you can do your whatever you do with your fist, and he's like, it's chi, and then Jessica Jones was like, nah, and you're getting a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Throughout.
Do you think is it even worth Kyle seeing Iron Fist then?
Or maybe don't watch Iron Fist.
Certain parts of it just
don't. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Whatever, if you have questions, just ask us and we'll
I mean, look, here's the thing, and just to quickly bounce back to the Inhumans. I fully expect that show to be a disaster. That being said, I will watch it because I do want it to succeed. I want it to be really good. But, you know, you wanted this show to be really great.
That's why I was so pissed off when
Jeff Loeb hired Scott Buck to do this show, and I don't understand. And now we're seeing the ramifications. I will say, though, Iron Fist, I guess, will prepare you for what to expect for the Inhumans.
I think you should just go in cold for Inhumans. It's way more fun.
We'll just have to wait and see how it happens. It's just, I think, my excitement for the Defenders has... like deteriorated ever since Iron Fist, and it just hasn't gotten any better.
It was a real downer.
And, like, that was, like, it was so bad to have that show come out before Defenders because it killed the momentum.
Well, maybe it'll just make you like a Defenders more when you watch it.
Walking Dead debuted
You
there.
Know what? I saw the trailer, and I have to say, it looks like every other season, this show is the same shit over and over and over. God damn it.
Go on.
Why? They don't. You just repeat the same shit. Oh my god, Carl, where's Carl? Oh, I'm so sad. Oh, but now I'm the leader. Oh, they killed someone, now I'm sad again. Okay, but now I'm the leader again. Oh, they killed someone else, I'm sad again. Carl, where the hell are you, Carl? Like, it's... God damn it, Carl. It's the same shit. It's the same shit. But I guess he's an old man at the end. Old man Carl? I don't know.
Old man Rick.
Old man Rick. That can be something. They did announce that the actual comic series, they are ending it. What's it, that Rick isn't making it to the end of the series. Why you would say that, I have no freaking clue. Spoilers, asshole. But at least to me, that tells me, okay, now this show has a shelf life. Maybe, like, two more seasons
this
max.
This is the season 8 trailer. Can you
season
believe
eight.
That?
I don't hate the show. Like, I really enjoyed it in the beginning, but it just became the same shit over and over. And I remember I told both of you this, and you were like, both of you were like, heresy,
this
how dare
before
you
season
say this.
Six.
Yeah.
This is a while back.
Yes.
Things have, you know, deteriorated since then. Here's my thing.
Okay.
I used to love this show. Mm-hmm. Season 7 was a disaster. Because everything Peter said came true. The show was a complete waste of fucking time. Let's have a whole episode of Rick fucking Michonne. Great. That's gonna...
Did that really happen?
Yeah.
I should have kept watching, though. Because if you're trying to say how the show sucks, that doesn't sell me on that.
No, but I think it's just like... No, the whole episode is just them two fucking. All the time. And... In the middle of them trying to do a war, it's like this entire season was of season 7. I can't even say like this. Just we have a review on it, right, on the channel, like a couple months back on it. You get my whole vent there. Season 7 has really killed any enthusiasm I have for the show. That being said, I thought it was a good trailer, but again, it's just them. Hey, look, something's happening. Let's go and here, let's fight. Let's shoot this and.
Just evolve a little
I'm
bit.
I'm at the point where it's like, okay, where the fuck are you going?
This is what's going to happen.
But even, okay.
The opening, the first episode is going to be something big with lots of explosions and lots of brain splatter. And then the next three episodes are going to be people walking in the woods like, life is hard. And my loved one died. That's so sad. And then it's going to be like, then each character is going to have their turn to walk in the woods and cry about how shitty their lives is. And then like 5 episodes later, there's going to be more explosions and then more blood splatter. And then Rick's going to be like, oh my God, this life sucks. I can't be the leader. And then eventually he's going to be the leader.
Alexa, stop.
Alexa, don't come together. Okay.
I'm not sure.
All right, thanks, Alexa.
What is happening here?
The only character that has actually moved forward and in like an intelligible, like, great way is what's her name?
Carol.
Carol.
Yeah.
She's a completely different person from the first season. It's completely believable to see that slow change in her.
I'll tell you this, Peter. Toward the second half of the 7th season, at that point I was only watching it for her. I just couldn't care about anybody else.
Everyone else goes back and forth, but they learn the same lessons over and over and over and over. Where some people just don't change at all, and they just do the same stupid shit and make the same stupid mistakes. But with her... She had actual character progression, and in one direction.
And a great actress.
Yes. So, if you're going to watch it for her.
What did you make of the ending? Is it the hospital waking up?
He woke up. He's like, oh, shit.
At this point, I'd take that just to end it.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
No, they're going the comic book route, where after the Great War, it takes place.
Great War.
The Great.
It's the war to end all wars. After that, it takes place 2 years after that.
And after then, World War Z?
Look, and then, at this point, look.
Yes. Except a lot less.
One of the biggest stories that came out last year is how The Walking Dead hemorrhaged its viewership. It went from averaging 16 million to 10 million. Even though that 10 million is a lot of viewers, that is such a goddamn, like, drop off. And if they don't get their shit together, this at the end of the season, I would be AMC would announce season 9, the finale, and that's it. Because if the ratings do not get back to where they were, or at least solidify, the end is very much in sight, and maybe good that it's in sight, because, like, why does it need
I
to be on?
I want it to end in on a high note, you know? I don't want it to just, like, peter out and then, you know, that's it. I want it to at least, like, go back up in quality and then end.
Kyle, what did you think?
Great answer. Next topic.
I think it was Negan being Negan.
He was in that?
He was in the beginning. He's like, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Cause I'm he still had his bat, so that was something.
I definitely see where you guys are coming from. You know, I definitely see, you know, the repetitive nature of this show and how, like, Peter, I think you're right. You told me a couple of months ago, like, oh, just because it's bigger and badder doesn't mean that it's necessarily good. But other than that, I'm just like, give me something good. I'm gonna give you, like, one more chance. However, things are looking greater in the Upside Down, right?
Oh, are you talking about the trailer for
Stranger Things?
It was a really good trailer.
Yeah,
I would. To be honest with you, I'm more hyped about Stranger Things season 2 than I am Walking Dead. And I, you know, just hearing the voice in the background, I think that's Vincent Price's voice.
Mm. Vincent, really?
Yeah,
oh,
and I think that's his voice going on in the background, hearing the slow transition into thriller, and seeing them, like, they use the trap from Ghostbusters, and it's actually, like, there's something in it,
right?
And so I'm like, oh my god, they're actually going for it. They're actually doing the '80s thing. It feels like the stakes have been raised. At the end, you see Eleven, and then is Will Byers...
Is she 12 now?
Probably.
That's a knee slapper.
He literally slapped his knee.
Is Will Byers Will Byers anymore? Is he mentally dead?
Probably.
And then that big old fucking... I don't know what it was. Like a spider... some spider shit in the sky.
Honestly, who cares? I just want justice for Barb.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. Fuck Barb. You know what?
By the way, that was a joke.
Why do people care so much? I never understood why people are like, justice for Barb. Like, yeah, they probably could have cared a little bit more.
They got the actress an Emmy nomination.
But it's like, she died. Should your friend have not been hoeing it up while you died? Probably not. But like, it's, I don't know. She doesn't need that much justice. I think she got enough justice. Let Barb be in peace.
At first, I was buying the whole Barb thing as, like, a meme and shit like that.
It was a funny meme, but it's like, we get it.
But, like, you know? It's like
a But then year... a meme turned into an Emmy nomination.
It's a little ridiculous at this point.
Yeah, but that spider monster looks incredible. It definitely... whatever.
I love that sentence.
Yeah, the spider monster looks incredible. I'm excited. I am... a bit trepidatious because, like Peter said a year ago, you kind of struggle, like, where how far can they take this? That wasn't Stranger Things season 1.
Yeah, that was my thing. I didn't even want there to be a season 2.
Like, how much more story is there before it starts to run out of mileage? And then when you hear that the creators, the Duffer Brothers, they want to make 4 or 5 seasons with the same cast, where do you go? So I'm excited for it. I am, like, I'm worried about where it's gonna go.
I don't want them to Walking Dead that shit.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's where it... I hope it doesn't go that way. I know that, you know, there was propagandists on Collider TV Talk.
Oh my god. You have a tirade against Collider.
Here's an interesting... Well, they're a cult.
Actually, I am with you. I am with you on the... Are you going yeah. to the thing that I was talking about?
Okay, first of all,
they attacked Millie Bobby Brown.
Okay, you know what? I gotta say... Because you guys were doing this whole hubbub about it. So I asked Alexis to show it to me. And I think they were completely right.
I wasn't even going to go there. I was going to say that they're predicting that Stranger Things Season 2 is going to be one of the most massive disappointments in recent history. They feel it's not going to live up to the hype and it's going to like fall off the radar.
I think it has the ability to be disappointing just because people hype it up so much. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, it's still going to be good. Like we're not going to walk away and be like, wow.
Honestly, they're ready to just ditch the series. I'm getting the sense they want it to be bad because at this point they're like rooting it for it. Like, yeah, it's not going to be anywhere near as good.
Hipster liberals.
I think you just hate Collider.
They're a cult.
I love you, Collider. Hit me up.
You're tearing me apart, Collider.
Christian Harloff. We can be bros. Okay, what's next?
That was a little smooth transition, or less smooth transition, into a little thing
smooth,
that...
Smooth criminal Michael Jackson.
Wow.
Thriller.
You just Thriller. Kyle.
What's the next... the next subject? What are we talking about next?
Disaster Artist.
Oh, okay, I can do this. Thriller.
Right, do it, Peter.
Zombie.
Tommy Wiseau.
There we go. That. Oh, God, that was smooth.
I didn't hit her. Oh, hi, Mark. Is that how it goes?
Yeah. Have you seen The Room?
No, I saw a good part of it a couple years ago, and then I saw some clips on YouTube. Oh my God.
It's beautiful. I love it.
But it is.
Oh God. I want to know what happened?
What do you mean?
On the set of that movie, like apparently, Tommy Wiseau, like that's an actor?
Apparently there is a huge story about like what he had to go through just to make
the Greg Sestero wrote the book called The Disaster Artist, which this is based on.
Greg Sestero is Mark of High Mark. Is his best friend who sleeps with his fiance constantly and always throws a pigskin around.
Don't touch me, motherfucker. Like, what the hell, man?
That one's my favorite. No, but it looks like... It looks great. I actually think. Because it doesn't look like it's just like, oh, we're just going to throw you the highlights of what you like about the film. It's about, we're going to tell you the real story behind this. And I think they even said, like, it really is almost a character piece on Tommy Wiseau. Mm-hmm. And you know this artist who went through hell to get his movie made, as terrible as it is, you know, he threw his whole heart into something he loved, and like that's sort of commendable.
Seriously, was that Tommy Wiseau really trying to act?
Yeah,
in the film.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah, it's amazing, right?
What the fuck,
it's great.
I did not hit her. It is bullshit. I did not. Oh, hi Mark. Mark.
Some people are just different. It's 8 million
What kind of an accent is that anyway?
No one knows. he claims he's not foreign. He was born and raised in the United States. So I don't know what's up with that accent. What's next? Oh, what's nice? So I can do a transition.
That is it.
No, it's not it.
Yeah, it is.
There was more stuff.
There's more stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Can we just, like, freeball it?
Freeball,
Ready Player One trailer.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Okay.
It had the Iron Giant in it.
It's my turn. Look at me. I am the host now. Okay. Don't shake your head.
What the fuck?
Sorry, I threw something at this, like, giant nugget over here. I both love that trailer, I kind of hate it, because it's kind of the epitome of everything that pisses me off. It is both, like, my worst nightmare and, like, my biggest dream, this film. It's both ends of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Which it'll come out being, I don't know. I actually think it has a unique opportunity to comment on today's society and the way that we cling to nostalgia in the past and da 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 da.
Right.
And I kind of, if it's something like that, like with the real story and really something to say, especially about nostalgia, because mm-hmm. like the first lines are like all are basically like no, they call them the what's it called, the lost millions or the missing millions, mm-hmm. and how he's like, I only ever think about the 80s. I wish I grew up in the 80s because that's where all my heroes are. I think it feels very, like you could yeah. talk about something.
No, I think there's no better time for a movie like this.
Yeah.
If that's the way it is, because right now we're all so obsessed with nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Why not have a film that's dedicated to a commentary on that? And who better than Steven Spielberg to do that?
Especially because he is responsible for all that shit. It is basically is him. But if it goes the opposite route and it literally is just...
A cash grab?
What's it called? A Where's Waldo... for 2.5 hours, and then it ends, and it's like, okay, go home. Then I'm gonna be kind of pissed.
Steven Spielberg, though, it's like,
yeah, I know. This is the first Steven Spielberg in a while. I think I've been like super excited though, because it's the
first kind of movie that's not, because he's been making political thrillers or dramas, yes, historical yes. like period pieces. This is like the first different thing.
Step back in sci-fi in a while.
Yeah, and then after that, he'll do Indiana Jones 5, your favorite film of all time.
Wonderful. Let's be honest. Harrison Ford will have crashed his plane way before that. R.I.P.
Oh my god.
You know if that happens, you're going to be responsible for that. It's all on me.
I claim full responsibility.
Yeah. Don't do it. Yeah.
But I will say...
I did not
hit. I did not.
It's bullshit.
It's bullshit. It's a girl.
It's a girl.
What
did you...
What if she is the one?
Wonder Woman.
I will admit that the references, the all different things from different movies.
So basically,
it is cool.
So basically,
it, cool. it does.
A Red Spotlight Entertainment podcast.
Basically, but when another thing that I also fear though, because it's WB, that it just becomes a giant advertisement for WB properties.
Wait a minute. Hold up. Didn't he change things, though? Because it isn't in the novel that a lot of the references...
I did not read the novel.
Well, from what David Moreno, our number one listener, from what he told us is that the book, Ready Player One, thrives... the references are basically Spielberg's filmography. And then what I read is that Spielberg actively avoided using his own movies. That's why he's using Iron... Stupid. That's why he's using Iron Giant or Back to the Future. Well, isn't that what you're like, complaining about? To not, you know, thrive on nostalgia and do the same thing all over again?
But if you're going to do it, go full force. My thing is, it's sort of like we were just looking at Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And they did a great thing because they were able to get all of the classic cartoon stars for the most part. They didn't get Popeye or anything like that. But they were able to get...
but the two key players, Warner Brothers and Disney.
They were able to play ball to be able to have those two in there. And my fear is the only nostalgia you're going to see in here... is Warner Brothers nostalgia. And it's just going to be them selling their... Because if you notice, all of the references are from what... Like, you're not going to get any... Because Disney and all of their Disney-owned properties are huge factors in nostalgia.
Yeah.
And it's going to feel really awkward when there's no lightsabers in there or, like, a Darth Vader thing.
Oh, you know, and that's...
Something
you know,
like that.
And you know what?
That was ruined my excitement for this movie.
That's what I do. That's what Lego Batman movie did.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Because they could have had a lot more villains in there.
But they had Star Wars and Lego movie.
But you remember with the Lego Batman, all of the villains were only
Warner Brothers related.
WB owned.
You had Clash of the Titans. You had I guess
Voldemort.
You had the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah. Gremlins.
You had all these Warner Brothers properties, but, you know, you could have, like, a Darth Vader in there. You could have, like, King Kong.
King Kong wasn't there.
But you could have had Godzilla in there.
Yeah. I thought the big thing was Godzilla. Yeah. But it was from Clash of the Titans, because it was like, why does it have so many
And then also
like,
you had Sauron from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Yes.
So you had all those villains.
Only WB
But you could have had more villains, though.
You should have had a Darth Vader.
Which I think that encapsulates how little... WB actually has in terms of iconic things. So
again, with your
thank you,
hate, but that's what scares me because you're not hitting Spielberg's things and you're gonna only hit WB properties. So then, it's to me, I'm afraid that I'm gonna be looking at it and it feels like I'm watching a giant ass commercial for WB properties.
So Amazing Spider-Man 2 for Sony.
Yes, something like that.
So that was all commercial.
That's why. Half of me is like, I'm really freaking excited, or it could be like my worst nightmare. but it's up in the air.
Can we talk about Dunkirk real quick before we go?
Yeah, we should talk about Dunkirk.
That's kind of important because we saw that. That's a new film by Nolan, Christopher Nolan, and he's a big director.
He's a small director. I don't think you've ever heard of him. Small time director.
I mean, can you
enlighten me? What's his filmography?
Yeah, I don't know.
Go ahead. Listen, okay, so we have Interstellar, The Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises, Batman Begins, Inception, which you haven't seen yet.
How have you never seen
Inception? Inception, that's my favorite movie of his.
You cuck.
I think I saw it in a dream once.
You deserve shit on your face.
I guess they're Insomnia, The Prestige.
Dunkirk was very frustrating for me and Alexis. And the thing is, I thought I was going to come out of the film and be this big old negative Nancy.
Which you usually are.
Because like, it usually happens when we come out of the film, and then he's like, oh, I love it. And then I'm like, Kyle.
Usually we love it, and then you're like bring it all down and everything.
I think I like gave you depression after Suicide Squad. it was pretty bad. So I thought I was going to be the one, I'm like, I'm sorry, Alexis, I had real issues with this. But you started off, and you were on a telepathic zone.
Yeah, I think we, wow, like, you and I.
And then, okay, what shocked me, okay, I was up in the mountains, you know, and I had, like, little reception. Yes. And then the first bit of reception that I get was, I completely agree, 100% agree with Jeremy Johns.
Oh, and that's right. And your mortal enemy.
Right.
And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Am I... did I die up here or something like that? So I read it and, you know... And the way that he described it, it sounds like the characters are boring. They're not even characters at all. Well, they're just little bits of historical figures.
This is the thing. I understand what Christopher Nolan was trying to do. Yeah. He was trying to basically create just an experience, a ride.
And I think he was successful.
I think in a way he was successful.
In a way
successful.
He was successful, yeah.
And for most people, he was successful.
Yeah, I think, okay, there's just so many ways to start. First of all, Peter and I, how often do we see eye to eye on a film, 100%?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But we agree 100% on this movie.
Yes.
That's a great number.
We had a similar experience with this, so... I want to commend Christopher Nolan because I think this is a very experimental film, and I don't think we've had any, like, no one else that I've seen does what he tries to do. Mm-hmm. And from basically all you need to know is that this movie is experimental in the fact that it just starts and there are these three intersecting storylines, and the way that the format is, it's a non-linear timeline. Things just happen in different timelines. At one point, you know they're all going to connect, but you don't know what the hell is going on half the time. Are we following this group? Are we following that group? Like, and it kind of meshes scenes together where you think everybody's all on the same page, and then you realize, oh, wait, no, that's happening here,
like,
and that's happening here.
So literally when the movie starts, it says, like, 1 week by land, one day by sea.
Okay, this is no.
And then 1 hour by air.
1 week, 1 day, 1 hour of the three groups.
And I was like, what the hell are they talking about? I'm like, I guess at some point they'll get to it. But then...
You asked me in the middle of the movie.
The middle of the movie. I was like, wait, is this movie out of order? Like, because I thought it was going...
Right.
I literally didn't realize... And the only reason I realized it is because Cillian Murphy, like, in the very beginning of the film, they find him, like, in a turned over boat. And he's all shell-shocked. An hour later... Cillian Murphy is fine on the beach helping, what's his name from One Direction, get back.
Harry Styles.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait, what the f-? And then I had to turn to you and I was like, what's going on?
And I was actually surprised. Peter's pretty smart. Like, he doesn't need me to tell him, like, where we are in the movie, but.
But I honestly. Because I think the target audience is, like, older people, because usually older people like these
No, that's the thing.
They'll be completely lost.
No. This, I was caught off guard. I wasn't expecting this. Like, the marketing completely did not sell this movie because this is not the movie you're expecting. I don't think I've ever recall a film like this with this non-linear timelines. It just, things happen. Yeah.
And then,
so it felt
the entire
sporadic.
Film is just supposed to be tension.
Yeah, okay. That's the thing, though. It's not like...
Your main characters, like, you have three main characters in one story, which is by land or whatever. And
on the beach.
Yeah, which includes, what's his name? Harry Styles.
Kenneth Branagh is there. Yes. All of them.
But the three main ones?
Right.
I think they have, between all of them, 10 lines?
This movie is 20% dialogue. No. 20% of the movie...
Like, 10% dialogue.
Yeah.
And most of it is just like tick, 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 tick. There's ticking throughout the entire film.
That's the score.
And you're just supposed to feel tension.
There's a ticking noise the entire time.
Christopher Nolan has this signature style where he'll have three separate things going on. And you slowly, progressively notice that, you know, they're it's building up to something big. And you're supposed to feel this tension. Most notably, like, in The Dark Knight. Like, when the Joker sent those letters to, like, the mayor and like, and everyone's running around like, oh, shit, something's happening. And you just feel it and you feel it.
And then it happens.
What Christopher Nolan did is he's like, I love doing that. So he took that and he threw out all the unnecessary shit like story and characters and shit you don't need in a film.
Plot.
Yeah, plot.
Dialogue,
and
literally.
And he just stretched that out for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I know for a lot
an hour and a half.
An hour
and it felt like two or 3 hours. It was an hour and a half movie.
And
it was one of the shortest films.
And the thing is, it's done amazingly well.
It is.
It's a beautiful film.
Mm-hmm.
The tension stuff is done really well. Like, the first half, I was all in. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, I was really in it. Like, there was literally no dialogue for, like, the first
an amazing
half
sound
hour
design.
Or something
amazing
like that.
Sound
yeah.
Design.
Tell me about Rylance.
Rylance was probably the best character because he actually had a character. Like, he was doing something. But at the end of the day, he was just Rylance. You know, we gotta go to Dunkirk, son. I can't do an English accent. I'm sorry.
That's
Dunkirk.
That's all that happened.
We got to get to Dunkirk. Yeah. That's not English. What am I doing?
Klingon? I don't know.
But I kept wondering, like, why is it? Because there are certain parts where I just started to get bored.
Me too.
And
frustrated.
And frustrated because I'm like, I should love this.
And the score made me feel very anxious.
Yes.
Like, what's happening? Like, God, like, can you, the thing is, and it's
so
more of a,
what I'm getting from you is that your feelings toward this movie is very conflicted.
In a way, yes. Like, for me, here's the thing. I appreciate what he did because what I thought was a very unique cinematic experience. And this is an experience that I recommend everybody goes because what I love about this director, he always makes movies that makes us talk about film and makes us analyze it from different approaches. And nobody else in the business does that. So go see this film because I think everyone's opinion is valid on here and I want to hear everybody's reaction. But for me is, I like a film to take its time to progress. Maybe I got too used to, like, War for the Planet of the Apes, where it just, like, it takes its time with building characters.
Maybe this just isn't your cup of tea.
That's the thing. I was thinking, you know what, it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that it was new, and it was unique, and it was original. But, like, this movie never lets you breathe. It just goes, and it goes, and it goes. It doesn't take a breath to stop.
I think that's the issue, because the way really well, like, tense films do it, and the way Nolan's done it is the past, it's... Imagine you're on a ride and you're just holding on.
You call it a Universal Studios ride.
A Universal Studios ride. And what happens is it goes and it goes and it goes and it goes. And in a normal film, right when you feel like you're at that point where you're about to fall off, you let it slow down, maybe give a little character development so you can hold on again. And then it goes and it goes and goes. Mm-hmm. Just a tiny breather so you can get a better grasp. With this...
Like Mad Max.
It never stops. So you never you lose your grasp.
No, Mad Max
your grasp and you fall off the ride.
Mad Max actually stops for a little bit.
Yeah, it does stop. Yeah. You get some character stuff. And I
guess that's what I was talking about. The way that he said that, you know, it slows down for a little bit. And
just
then
you can grab on and then
keep going. Rest is a thrill ride.
But that's not Dunkirk. It never slows down.
And my thing is the reason I'm like, why doesn't this work? Because I've seen films where it's literally just nothing but action and I'm entertained and I love it. There's not much story or characters. Seen musicals where it's just dance and singing, la 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 la, and no characters or anything. Tension, I think for me anyways, I find that tension only works when you care about the characters in it.
And I think at most you care for Tom Hardy, who had all of one scene in a plane.
Like, there was this one point where, yeah, he says like four lines and he's... His entire thing in the film is,
this will be Germany's record.
He does do that. He does.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I'm at 50 gallons. Like, that's his entire lines.
I'm at 50
and then he shoots
gallons.
And but my I completely forgot what I was gonna say. Oh, I remember. Okay. My
this
thing
will
is
be Red Spotlight Entertainment's reckoning.
We should have never mentioned the big
no,
thing.
That's what happens.
When it comes to, there was this one scene where someone in a plane gets shot out, and then they hit the water, and I'm like, let me guess, they're not going to be able to get out. They're stuck. So it's, and like I called it the second it happened. So it's like two or like 5 minutes of like tick 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 tick. Oh no, is he gonna make it? And my thing is like, I kind of don't care if he doesn't make
it.
Yeah,
let's move on.
Like it's supposed to be tense.
Right.
At least with action, you're seeing something amazing happen. That's part of
the problem. There are portions where you just don't care what's happening.
Like there's a whole sequence where they have to get to the boat, right? You know, where they're carrying that crippled person, yeah. And I'm like, but I don't care about you or the injured guy. Like, but it's like almost 10 minutes. Well, not 10, maybe 5,
it
7.
It felt like 10 minutes.
It felt like 10 yeah. minutes where it's like, is he going to make it to the boat? Is he going to make it to the boat?
Do we care?
He didn't.
But it's like, they did. But it's like, if I don't care about these characters, why would I care if they make it to the boat or not? And I guess you do care because it is war,
mm-hmm.
and a real one at that, and where this did happen to real people. So you do care at the most basic human level, in which you don't want to see people die. You know,
and basically the whole point of it is just evacuate people out of the beach.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole movie.
At the end of the day, it's like I said, it's almost not a movie; it's just a ride.
Yeah. Here's the thing. With all Nolan films, this film is beautifully shot.
The scenery is
incredible. The cinematography is masterful. I think this will get many Oscar nominations in technical categories, and it deserves to win for sure. Especially sound design and sound mixing. I'm not kidding you. It is one of the most immersive experiences. When you're in that theater, and you feel that gunshot. It's incredible. Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm so conflicted, because it's like...
It's a good movie.
Maybe it's just not my cup of tea.
It definitely isn't mine.
I do think it's a good film.
Yeah.
That just maybe isn't for me.
I encourage everyone to go see it just for the experience. However, we've been noticing, just to finish this off, is people have been calling this the best movie of the year. And like a master, like Christopher Nolan's best movie, his masterpiece is like, what's it called? His,
Magnum Opus.
Yes, they're like, this is unimaginable, and I'm like, it's my least favorite Christopher Nolan
film. The end of the day, I don't care much for it, because there wasn't much to...
And that's the thing, even if it was, like, super memorable,
mm-hmm.
like, a day later, I just kind of forgot most of it.
Yeah.
Is
I honestly stopped thinking about it the minute I got in the car, after we talked about it.
Yeah, and it sucks, especially because apparently it hit... It hit what it needed to hit with everyone else, because everyone else is like
loving it, like, and that's 98%
on Rotten Tomatoes.
I guess we're in this like we're with Jeremy Johns apparently, like he's right.
We are part of the Johns now.
Like, it's not a bad movie. It's a good movie. There's so much that is so magnificently crafted here to call it a bad movie. It's good.
It's just a boring good movie.
It's different. It's experimental. It's something like I don't recall like. What can you compare this movie to, at best?
Like I said, like a Universal Studios, right?
Yeah.
Like that's why I said maybe I would like it more if they cut it way down.
Because
it felt like it was way like at least halfway through.
It's extremely ambitious. I'll say that.
Like I said, check it out. If it's for you, awesome. If it's not, welcome to the Johns crowd.
I'll say that we need more of these movies. I think this is a movie that's challenging. Conception and all that kind of stuff. So when I meant to conception, it's challenging norms,
inception
standards. So, and I think Christopher Nolan has been an innovative filmmaker his entire career, and this is another example of what he can do. And look, the trailers were portraying a stereotypical World War II film. This was not that, and he created a immersive and unique experience out of a film we probably would have been bored with it. Maybe not if it was the exact same thing that we had. It's different. It's out there. Go try it out. Maybe you'll like it. It just wasn't for me.
Ditto.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that was Red Spotlight number 57, Kyle's conventional catch-up game. We have a lot of other things.
Why?
I don't know. He makes the titles. Not me.
You guys have been doing good jobs on the title.
No, he made a title, and I was like, that doesn't sound like Kyle. We had to make it sound like Kyle.
Yeah.
So we went out of our way to make it sound like
Web of Thrones. Right. And that was ingenious, boys. I am proud of you.
Did I do a good job hosting? Was it okay?
I am proud of you. I am proud of you.
I had to ask him to say that.
Thank Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Over.
It's good to have you back. You've been gone for a whole week.
Yeah, I've been gone.
But you're not the hostess with the most.
Oh my god. So, without further ado, I'm your host, Kyle Lira.
That was an apes one, right?
And this is Red Spotlight Entertainment. Tori and Kermit, take it away.
Why doesn't it surprise me?
Zester? Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side?
Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide.
So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. But I know they're wrong, wait and see.
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Wow, I wish I could sing like you.
Who said that every wish would be heard and answered? We wished on the morning star.
Well, you know, somebody just thought of that. And someone believed it. And look what it's done so far. You know?
What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? What do we think we might see?
Someday we'll find it. The rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers. All of us under its spell, we know that it's probably magic.
Yeah. Have you been half asleep, and have you heard voices?
I've heard them calling my name.
Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailor?
The voice might be one and the same.
I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Someday we'll find it. The rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers.